Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 155 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Rick Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And Crocodile.
Hello.
We're here to talk about which episode of Hunter x Hunter we want to see in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so DeMarco put out a poll asking people which of the following two episodes they want to see more. Was it the episode where Meruem and the chairman fight, or is it the episode where Meruem dies?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Well, the Meruem versus the chairman fight takes place over what, like 3 episodes, I think?
It's mostly in one episode. The episode specifically is the end episode where Netero is just like, eat shit and blows himself up.
Okay, so they mean that one that ends on the mushroom cloud, that episode.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we believe that the reason he's asking this is because when Hunter x Hunter ends this week, they want to air one more episode of Hunter x Hunter. That way, both Hunter x Hunter and The Promised Neverland will end at the same time, so that the following week, two new shows will premiere.
Are you sure it's going to be two new shows and not one new show and a rerun of Promised Neverland?
I don't know that, but I feel like I think they will. And the reason is because at the most recent event they were at, they said they had two more shows that they want to announce, but they couldn't announce them yet.
Right. But at the same time, I'm thinking there's a bunch of shows about to end, you know, like not only these two, but there should be a couple more in the next few weeks.
Here's the current list. Here's the current list of show ending dates. Hunter x Hunter ends. This ends in a few short days. Promised Neverland ends the week after that. And then on July 13th, Sword Art is gone. On August 10th, Attack on Titan's gone. A week after that, My Hero Academia is gone.
So you're saying basically they have to pace their replacements. They can't blow their proverbial wad too early.
Right.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, B-Dubs is not wrong. It could be. I mean, like, there's probably – I don't know if they'll have all new shows for every one of those, so who knows?
I think you'll – I mean, I think the one you probably don't get one for is Hunter x Hunter.
Probably.
What do we think are the odds of My Hero Academia Season 4 coming to the block later this year as part of some kind of simul-dub or something of the sort?
I think it's pretty good.
It's
October, so there's going to be like even if it came out immediately as it did in Japan, there'd still be like a pause or something. But
season four starts in October, and the only show this year that we currently have on the list as ending is like Lupin the Third in November, unless a new show comes in that ends before like Dragon Ball Super ends on October 5th. It's not going to be ready by then.
Well, technically, it's the first, I think the first episode of the fourth season of My Hero Academia starts on the 12th. So technically, it's possible, but I don't expect it. I don't think any of us expect it.
There is so much risk with, like, that would literally be like an almost a few day, yeah, that stuff, that's a lot of risk with the timing. You could miss an episode like that.
Yeah, I don't expect it to happen that quickly, but I was just trying to figure what the timetables were. Though it's possible if the production was strong enough, they could do like a Space Dandy sort of situation where stuff was premiering in in America before Japan. But again, I don't expect that.
It's unlikely because they're also putting out another movie this year.
Of My Hero Academia?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's news to me.
Yeah.
What's it called? Do you know anything about it?
Don't know. I don't know. What is it called?
Well, I think regardless, I think My Hero Academia Season 4 is destined to be on Toonami. Whether it's like several months after it debuts on Funimation or not.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Really say.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious if we thought if it might come like end of October, November, December, or be something pushed off next year.
I think it's more likely that they get it as soon as they possibly can.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they get season 4 before the year ends.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, it seems like two new shows is not enough new shows to replace all the shows that are ending with between now and the end of the year. So there's going to be, I feel like, some number of reruns are reached.
That was two new shows. So at MomoCon, they said they had two other shows they wanted to announce, but suddenly they couldn't. Obviously, there's going to be more new shows.
Yeah, well, that's the question. It's like how there very well could be two additional new shows that they can't even get close to announcing yet. But I think Edubs is also right that like there's no rule about that. It could very well be one of these shows will be a rerun that we get here soon. So
I still think that Hunter x Hunter is probably not going to get replaced with a new show.
Right. I think it's going to be a Promised Neverland rerun because otherwise I feel like why would they have them end at the exact same time?
Well, you have them end at the exact same time because that's just nice and neat.
Because they'd have to create an additional promo if they had a new thing 1 week and a new thing the next week.
That's one less schedule announcement post you have to make. Although, that's less confusion.
Yes, I agree with that, and that's where I was leaning, but I get what B-Dubs is saying now. He's saying if they wait one extra week before replacing Hunter x Hunter, then they can then immediately move
Promise Neverland
to the back of the block.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing is that every show on the block is a new show, but that's only been like a 4 or 5 week thing just because Attack on Titan came back while it was rerunning. So I assume they want to continue having a rerun.
Yeah, I do remember though. Yeah, he's talking about a period where like Attack on Titan was rerunning season 1, but then when the season 3 part 2 was ready, they just stopped airing season 1 and just jumped to that.
Yeah. So I assume they want to go back to having a rerun.
Well, I guess what we're going to take away from this is that either this weekend or, if not then, definitely by next weekend, we will get promos for at least one, if not two, new shows.
Yep. So what do you got? Are you guys excited for Gundam The Origin?
I don't know enough about it to be excited or unexcited, but I think I share an opinion of Sequoia that after Unicorn, I think I'll probably start pessimistic and then allow myself to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how I feel. I am not. I think IBO was a good Gundam series that I enjoyed for the most part, but Gundam Unicorn left a bad taste in my mouth, and this Origin show looks a lot like that. So I'm very pessimistic.
Hopefully, because it's the origin of something, it'll have to be a bit more self-contained.
Apparently, it's all about that main character, Char.
Oh, you mean Full Frontal?
That's so stupid.
Wasn't Full Frontal, though, like the guy who's basically patterning him, like mimicking Char, and he wasn't the real Char?
I mean, at some point, it's all... I put on the mask, therefore I am Char.
I mean, he was the Char XP that's like almost every Gundam series since the original. So no, he wasn't actually Char, but he was like the Char of that series. And it was
right,
like,
that's what I meant.
I'm the masked man.
The origin, I think, is literally about that guy, Char. Like where he came from or something. That's what the promo looked like.
The origin is like supposedly a prequel to the first Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but I'm not like, oh boy, I can't wait. It's just sort of like
they did say that one of the two shows they weren't able to announce was one of the ones that's like not really an action show. So maybe that could be, if that's the Hunter x Hunter replacement, it just kind of goes late in the night after Lupin, and then you get the Black Clover Naruto Power Hour to end off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super excited to learn whatever this show is that he said could, quote, be a different kind of genre than what Toonami typically airs. So
It could literally be anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Could even be a boat. Gundam boats.
Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, it could be. It could be Gundam McGundam face.
It could be My Ordinary Life.
As a Gundam pilot?
That's Michijo.
Oh. Okay.
They just dubbed that.
No, I've heard of Michijo. I've never seen it. I was not aware of what it was called in English.
Yeah, that's the translation, yeah. By the way, just as an aside, I watched those clips of the dub. I don't like that they call the professor Hakase, because the whole joke is that Hakase is the Japanese word for professor. So the character should just be called professor, but they say Hakase in English.
Is it a thing where there's no way to get the lip flaps right if you do that?
Maybe. But it just doesn't, I don't like it, because it's like, I thought the whole joke was that they call her professor.
They are the same syllables, but I don't think any official, I've never seen an official...
Her character name is like Hakase something, Sakamoto or something like that. But like, I guess her name literally could be Hakase, and I guess that's what they're going with. But I always took that to mean like they just call her professor. Like, hey, professor.
It feels like something where like they may, and like if you watch some like fans subbed, they may have said professor.
No, I think I watched it subtitled and they always said professor in the subtitled version. And now in the English version, they're saying Hakase, which is just weird to me. But anyway, we're going way off topic. So.
Right. Let's talk about Pokemon. No.
Yes.
No.
Oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that.
Okay. No, let's not go into that again.
My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia, episode 54, Chiketsu High Lurking. In this episode, look at all these cool powers from these dudes you'll never remember again.
I don't know if cool is the right word. I mean, some of them had decent powers, but there was like one girl who can like tuck inside her own body, and I was just like, man, she looked very bad.
Like the turtle girl who could...
This is a quirk designed to be seen once and then never again.
Yep.
Creepy.
Earthquake. I mean, hey, earthquake and giant tornado are useful, though.
Oh, yeah. What was this? It was our boy Kirito had the earthquake power, right?
Yep.
It reminded me of Whitebeard from One Piece.
Oh, God. One Piece. The show that should never be on Toonami ever again. Even though it was faked. Short while ago.
That's a mean thing to do.
I know.
But also it was like, hey, they're going to start from like a place they haven't even actually dubbed to yet.
Yeah. And it would, and the sad part is it would completely just, you know, gloss over what is one of the hypest arcs in the series.
Yeah, the idea of skipping everything from Savoy to Marineford is like, dude,
what is wrong with you?
No,
that would be terrible. Yeah,
it's like it's literally the climax of the first half of the series.
It's literally like,
yeah,
end game.
It's 100%.
One Piece end game.
It's One Piece's end game. It totally is. I mean, everybody shows up.
Everybody who's anybody shows up. Everybody who's anybody throws down, and every single goddamn minute gets hyper than the last. I remember when the chapters were coming out, everyone was like, all right, reset the hype meters. Because every time it was like, okay, it can't possibly get any bigger. Okay, there's Shanks.
So My Hero Academia is not One Piece. But
it's still enjoyable. I mean, like, I know everybody's like, oh, here are these characters we'll never see again, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Like, if you hadn't told me that, I would be like, okay, these are interesting characters.
Yeah, turtle, not she's not even a turtle girl. Like, she's not like a froppy of turtles. She just like goes inside herself. You know, they're not bringing that ever back ever again.
Probably not, but like I just like seeing new quirks. And like there's this one weird girl who's like, her power is basically that she turns into other people.
Ha 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 ha.
And like they just kind of got, I like everybody in the thread was like, oh no, here comes Lewd Nami, because she's basically pretty much naked most of the episode.
Yep. Once again, Deku was assaulted by
a nudist.
The nudist.
When was the first time it happened? Refresh my memory.
When techie girl exploded out of the room and landed on him.
But she wasn't naked, though.
No, but I was going to say it's the second time he's been assaulted by boobs.
Okay, that's technically more accurate.
Yeah, that's more technically correct.
And also the second time Uraraka's been there to be like pouty face.
Well, that's kind of the jealousy thing. But yeah, so what's funny though is that, like, again, if you guys hadn't said anything, I'd say like, oh well, this is just a new group of characters who are going to be around. I would have probably believed, I kind of would have thought that. But then they got to the second half of the episode, and these guys all show up wearing like ninja masks, and I'm like, oh no, this must be filler.
Woohoo! We don't have to design more than one character.
And it truly is 100% filler. You
know the funny part? The ninja dude who can make things bigger, apparently they didn't communicate too well with the author, because that power gets given to one of the Class B dudes later.
Well, people are allowed to have similar powers in the universe. Like, they're two hardening people, for basically, right? So,
But I also mean this is literally the exact same power.
Yeah, it definitely strikes me as like, where like in One Piece, where somebody gets a power that, you know, a filler character gets a power that someone at Toei made up, and then later on Oda's like, no, this is a real character with that power.
Yeah,
but these powers aren't like distinct enough to be not the, like, it's literally is just as simple as I make things big.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, in the Japanese version of, in the Japanese language of My Hero Academia, they don't call them quirks, they call them individuality, which is right. Kind of...
I mean, it's just all about how you translate it, I mean...
Yeah, but it's just funny, though, if it is supposed to technically be, like, individuality, literally, then two people couldn't have the same quirk. But I'm with you guys that I feel like two people probably could have almost exactly the same quirk.
I mean, that's the thing that's already in the show. Like, there are two people with hardening quirks that aren't exactly the same, but are like 95% the same.
One of them is rock, one of them is metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it? He's not really rock, though. Redhead Tetsu?
I don't know. So he's not rock, he is just hardening his body, but I think it's just the other guy is turning into metal.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen two characters with exactly the same quirk, though?
No,
never.
I mean, maybe one of these days.
Actually, yes, we have. What are you talking about? All Might and Deku.
No,
that's the exact same quirk being passed on between two different people. It's like could two different people from opposite ends of the earth simultaneously develop the exact same thing?
Oh, it's like a homoplasy then. Okay, well, I guess, I mean, all right, that's different, I guess, yeah. But I mean, I feel it probably is, just because, like, if there are 8 billion people on the planet and 80% of the population has a quirk, then I think the laws of probability, say, are pretty decent. But, of course, the author is not going to get around to writing that unless he needs to, so.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, never mind, that doesn't work. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, the basically, I will admit, it was kind of clever how Deku recognized that Uraraka was fake. I thought that was, I think there was someone else in there, or a few other people in the thread who kind of picked up on that by accident. Or like, hey, Uraraka, why isn't she doing that thing that she should do? Oh, what bad writing. But no, it was, well, I didn't think a lot of them said that, but I'm sure some of them thought that.
I will admit that I did not see that coming. In fact, when I saw that character who looked like Uraraka get ready to hit him with the ball, I thought Uraraka was just trying to win.
Well,
you thought Uraraka was just being cold-blooded.
I thought she was. And it was actually kind of an interesting character moment for a second there. I thought, oh, she's really going to do that?
That, first off, I don't remember. I don't know if they can actually, like, take out people from their own school class.
Yeah, I think it wasn't clear to me.
They get the, I think as long as they get the points, it's fine.
I think, I guess technically there's no rule against it. It's just no one would actually do that because then you'd have to go back and go and face them every day.
Right. That's true. I mean, I should, in the moment, I was kind of like, oh, this is a pretty crazy move for her to make.
And then that's a moment that you would immediately be like, wait, that's ridiculous. Why would
That's what I'm saying though. Like, I didn't go there for some reason. I just bought it like hook, line and sinker. I just thought, wow, they're going to make Uraraka tag out Deku. Holy crap.
That's cool.
And then it turned out to be a copycat clone thing. Right. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but everyone's like, why did she just fall off a cliff? She can float. Like, no, that's not her. Also, Tornado Guy shows up and kills 75 people.
I liked his design, and I think it's pretty cool that he was so powerful. I don't buy for an instant that he was able to create a tornado that just happened to, like, fling all the balls at everybody and knock, like, 100 people out. Like, that just seems so completely random and luck-based. That the balls would actually fall where they need to.
Well, they weren't perfect shots. He was just kind of deluging them with balls. It wasn't
I know, I get it. Perfectly. But it just seemed like he got really lucky to me. It didn't seem like skill. It just seemed like he got lucky.
Well, he said they got 120 people there. What happened if there were actually 300 people in that crowd? Would that still be lucky?
Well, I don't know. Were there 300 people in that crowd?
No, I'm just saying, we don't, like, you can fudge the numbers pretty easily. Because, you know, we know how many he got. We don't know necessarily how many they were there. Yeah. And we don't.
It didn't look like it was more than 100 people, but maybe it was. I don't know. I'm being kind of negative here, but it's just that's what I was thinking at the time it was happening. I'm like, wow, I can understand him sucking all the balls up with a tornado. I can't understand how he was able to direct each one, you know, to hit people. It was, but you're right. I guess it was just so many. But anyway, so
yeah,
this guy is pretty strong.
Like, he took all of their balls.
Yeah, you just like saying that.
And then threw all of these balls at, like, and by the way, it's a tornado, so they're constantly coming around for a second pass. Like, don't hit once, you'll maybe hit again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tornado.
Is this the guy also who turned down a chance to go to UA?
That's right. This is that dude.
And what did they say? It was because he just wanted to be like, I don't remember why he did it.
We haven't been told.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Let's just say there's a lot more to the Tornado Guy. Well, I mean, not like he's in sense of super depth, but like he's like prominent in an opening for a reason. He sticks around for a bit. And also, this is not the last we've heard of the Naked Girl either. Like, they're in the opening as prominent characters for a reason. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Super Episode 115, Goku versus Kefla. Super Saiyan Blue defeated? No. Didn't you guys forget? There's another, he just pulled it out. There's Super Saiyan White now.
Well, yeah. I mean, Super Saiyan Blue was defeated, but that's why he had pulled out Super Saiyan Autonomous Ultra Instinct.
That's such a dumbass name.
That's an extreme mouthful for a Dragon Ball form change.
Well, yeah. I mean, you gotta match those lip flaps, right? We were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, okay, it's a really dumbass name, but it's Super Saiyan White, let's be real.
It's Goku Blanco.
Yeah. God damn it, Goku stole Gohan's power-up.
Gohan never went Blanco.
It was destiny, though. He should have.
Every time you say Blanco, I think of Chili Con Queso for some reason.
Like now we're never going to get Gohan Blanco versus Gran Padre.
But yeah, in this episode, he fights Kefla and, you know, it's a Dragon Ball fight.
Yeah.
Well, we did get a really cool moment where, like, 18 saved 17, or 17-8 saved 18. Boy, yeah, Android saved his sister.
Yeah, 17 saved 18 from the obnoxious who-gives-a-shit space officer guy.
Oh, yeah, Captain S or whatever. I don't know who
Captain
he is.
Captain Rainbow!
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I know they had 80 characters to work with, so they couldn't, like, give them all the star treatment. They just didn't have enough time and resources. But I feel like some characters, they just didn't try. I don't know. I don't want to criticize them. I know it's a lot of work put on these sorts of shows. They were on like crunch. They had a poor like production schedule, shitty for most of the time. So I don't want to like blast them. I know they were trying their hardest, but just the final product for a lot of these characters was like, eh.
They also made a point in this episode to make reasons for certain characters to not use their universe's Patara rings.
Yeah, like the magical girl universe is like, take these, and then they fumble it and break that shit.
And then like the mouse universe guy is like, oh, we don't even need to use ours.
And it's like, dude, you just saw Jiren blink somebody to death.
Who do you I know, have? I think of that too. I'm like, yeah. Why are you not? Why not? Just do it anyway.
See, I feel like if the seventh universe was smart, they'd toss a couple of those down and just be like, Goku, Vegeta, suck it up.
Exactly. You
know? Vegeta would die. He would actually, like, that's the thing. Vegeta would literally just be like, I'm taking the universe with me. I'm not doing that.
Well, give it to Gohan then.
Yeah, I mean, it would be strong enough, you know?
Yeah, there's no excuse for why any universe who has Patara rings to not allow them to be used now that we know that it's okay to use them.
Right, because...
But
I mean,
I guess they're going to have, you know, reasons.
I mean, a Goku-Gohan fusion would be friggin' crazy because... Okay, so imagine that the Gohan being able to be as powerful as he needs to be without transforming thing carried over. Like, that could just wreck face.
I want to see Go Frieza.
Yeah, that sounds...
Well, Frieza would extremely not do that.
Yeah, he doesn't like monkeys. He always says that. It's like,
you stupid Saiyan monkeys.
I must admit, for a monkey fight, this is quite entertaining. Yeah, it's a Dragon Ball episode. This also wasn't the one that looked super good.
Yeah, it's next week that it's one of the better moments in the entire series is next week. Don't miss out on that, listeners.
I think the seizure warnings are now just a staple of Dragon Ball now.
Yeah. Have you guys haven't noticed any like noticeable slowdown since that happened, right?
I feel like there are a few spots where it could have been better, but it wasn't like you know, before where it was just, you know, unwatchable.
Yeah. I agree. I think maybe one or two moments in the last episode kind of looked like it was dropped frames, but it wasn't that bad.
I think it like, I guess it hasn't been had it any moments to be super obvious where it's like, here's all this amazingly good animation, and now here's a punch rest that's like 1 frame a second. Then maybe it'll come back in full force next week. That would suck. But anyway, let's talk about Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan, episode 53, Perfect Game. In this episode, the Beast Titan is just straight up shouting out baseball references while just just fucking everyone up, dude.
Yep.
That shit's brutal. Yep.
This was a really good episode, and mostly because of the final scenes with the character whose name I always forget.
Erwin,
yes. And an awesome speech, awesome moment for that character.
Like, he literally sits down and is like, I just wanted to get to the basement, dude. And every reader's like, we all did.
Yeah, it was extraordinarily human.
Yeah, and it was good drama. Like, I think it's real easy to screw up a speech like that he was giving his troops, basically telling them that they're going to ride out to die. I think it's really hard to get those kinds of moments right, and I felt like they did an excellent job, both in how it was written and how it was performed, everything. It was very well done. Felt bad for him.
Because he's basically like, man, I could just be a total coward and jump over this wall right now and get this stuff, and then everyone would die. But, well, guess I'm not seeing the basement. Come on, everyone, let's go eat shit.
Like, he basically tells them, they're like, are you saying we're going to die? And he's like, yeah, we're going to die. And then that one girl up front is like, starts puking. And it's just like, you know shit is like really serious.
But they all write out anyway.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's what's so cool about it. They're like, you can either die trying to escape or you could try to make a difference. And that's what they did.
Meanwhile, Bertholdt's over on the other side of the wall being like, I'm trying to find Aaron, but the thundering clap of my ass cheeks keeps alerting to my position.
Yep.
My CGI ass cheeks.
I have no idea. I don't know. That was a dumb meme.
Maximum thick.
Well, the other thing, too, at the very last, one of the very last things in this episode, too, we see another Titan just happens to be back.
Oh, yeah. Armored Titan's like, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
You went for the head, but also you should have went for my entire central nervous system.
I'm sorry, but that whole, like, move his consciousness bullshit they were talking about a couple episodes ago, it's just some random bullshit they just added to the series, and it's stupid. I do not like it.
Yeah.
Not that I demand that the character must die. Like, obviously, you can, you know, decide when's best time to kill a character or not kill a character, use him for later or whatever. I'm not really, like, upset he didn't die. I'm just kind of, the rationale is like, oh, 'twas just flesh wound, or I, you know, I dodged at the last second, or like, I don't know, I slipped in a banana peel and I dodged the bullet that way or something, you know, kind of that stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I guess I'll say the baseball references from the Beast Titan were just like weird. And maybe they'll explain that later. It's like someone else has pointed out, we're still not really sure where the Beast Titan is actually from. But
yeah, I mean, from like
perspective of like the scouts and the people in the wall you have seen, there's no necessary indication that they should be aware of baseball. So it is kind of seem really weird that there's one guy who's a baseball fan, apparently. But again, as others have said, we don't know where he's from.
Hey, if you know, like his motions when he's throwing the rocks, literally a pitcher motion.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't have any reason to not believe everyone in this world understands what baseball is. I mean, the fact that somebody pointed that out in the thread, they're like, how does he know baseball? I was kind of taken aback by that because I'm like, well, why wouldn't they? I mean, what they know about a lot of stuff that is in our world.
But there's a lot of stuff that's in their world that's not in ours. But mostly, I would say, why would they know baseball? Because it seems very easy that would have been something that could have been lost if humanity was all forced behind, quote-unquote, allegedly behind a wall for hundreds of years. And, like, there's obviously some weird stuff about the timeline, which I'm sure will be explained because there's all this whole, like, memory erasure business that we just dealt with, like, last season. So there's still, like, funky shit going on that still needs to explain. Maybe the basement will explain it and whatnot. But, like, it's been clear that humanity was at a further place technologically in the past, and then whatever happened to the Titans happened, and they've been kind of pushed backwards a bit technologically-wise or, like, civilization-wise. So it seems to me like you can't assume that's, like, basketball or baseball or golf or whatever sports, you know, so those sorts of leisure activities will still, like, exist because they could have just been lost to time.
Yeah, I mean, there's way too much unknown for me to even make that assumption. Like, I don't know how the world is the way it is. I don't even know if this is our world. There's so much I don't know that I'm just like, the fact that they know what baseball is didn't surprise me when he was making those references, other than the fact that, like, if he'd said, I'm going to throw this like Babe Ruth.
If he'd said, I'm going to throw this up their ass like one of Joe Montana's touchdown passes.
Yeah, exactly. If he'd done that, I'd have been like, wait a minute. But this is just what? like, I don't know. For all I know, kids inside the walls were playing baseball. I don't know.
I think another thing is it's weird is because you think people look at that and be like, oh, those stupid localizers, they're just adding in dumb stuff again.
I would not make that assumption. That would seem weird.
A lot of dumb people do that. It's like, oh, he mentioned they made a joke. You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, but you're saying that you know for a fact that in the Japanese version, he said those things.
It's there, like, again, the Beast Titan is like they like rotoscoped a dude pitching a baseball.
Yeah, it's just one of those references that doesn't really fit with the world as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's like it kind of throws you off because it's like if he said, like, this is just like that episode of Laverne and Shirley or something, and you'd be like, what? Wait.
Yeah. Like we've television. Never been like we've never been shown that they have baseball inside the walls, you know?
Exactly. I get that. I also think it's possible that it was there, but I agree that like it is weird in this world where we're not given a lot of explanation about what's going on for him to make that baseball references out there.
Right. Like as it is, we sort of barely know anything about what goes on inside the walls, you know?
Yeah. We know there's kings, royalty. We know that like the walls were made from Titans.
I think the assumption is that the inside the walls, it's so dire that there's no way anyone's planned. Like, unless like the king, like the high level nobles are like, oh, we love baseball. Nobody else is playing baseball.
No, I mean like generally like in terms of stuff like culture, like we know next to nothing about life inside the walls.
Well, not to go too far into this though, but weren't they like peaceful for like 100 years inside the wall?
Yeah.
But apparently they never did like plays or wrote books or poems.
Well, I don't know it was kind of like peaceful in the sense that they weren't getting eaten, but the sense I got is that they're always kind of state of like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, like butt clenched, you know, 24/7.
Right. But it's like, no, like,
well, okay.
It just sort of feels like it, like we haven't seen a lot of what life there looks like.
Also, you know, like you need to take everything with a grain of salt because we learned last season that apparently everybody's mind was wiped at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I brought that up earlier. Yeah, that the mind control makes like the timeline's wacky.
Yeah,
and their memories fucked with. So there's a lot of kind of like, yeah, stuff like that.
Right. It's just that there's a lot of sort of blank space that would normally be, you know, sort of filled in that isn't, you know? I mean, even with, you know, counting all the timeline wackiness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just one of those things we're never really shown what sort of the average day inside the walls looks like. You know? Like, even in the first episode, which is really the only episode we have any clue of that stuff.
Again, I kind of agree with what Crocodile's saying, but at the same time, I think like little kids were just having fun and stuff in that time too, before the Titans broke the wall.
I think
they were probably
out
playing and things.
The thing is that generally you get the general impression that the world of Attack on Titan inside the walls is not of a sufficiently like advanced nature outside of like they have fucking jetpacks. But outside of that, it's like they don't. Yeah, they definitely. Like,
yeah, but there's nothing advanced about baseball.
I mean,
it's a ball and a bat.
But it's the type of leisure activity that would, I think, be easy to lose in a civilization under duress.
Yeah,
right. But it's also the kind of thing that people would normally want to hang on to even harder. Even like during World War II, you know, the U.S. all the men were going off to fight, and they're like, man, we don't want to lose baseball. So they basically hired a bunch of women and were like, now you do baseball.
I just feel like we can't make, like, without having seen really much of any sports within the whatever culture we're allowed to see inside the walls, I don't think it's appropriate to make assumptions that such those sorts of specific sports like baseball had survived. So, like, there's not enough information to answer a question either way. But I felt since that was the first time we had seen baseball from Attack on Titan, that it stood out to me as something that's like, huh, is baseball still in this world?
Well, yeah, one thing we can whether the guy literally knows about baseball or not, I guess is another one question. But one thing we can definitely say with certainty is that wherever the people who like the Beast Titan and the Armored Titan and Annie, wherever these people are coming from is probably different from the people living in the walls.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I it seems that way to me because they just seem to know a lot more about what the fuck's going on.
Right. I mean, at the same time, like, there's a couple of different explanations for, you know, what the heck might be going on, but it's just one of those things that it's sort of weird that we haven't really, like, the world of Attack on Titan is fairly shallow feeling. Like, it kind of feels like a puddle that's really wide right now, you know? Like with One Piece, you know, you got the newspaper that everybody gets delivered, and, you know, they have the, I mean, there's a whole like cultural thing that you feel like, okay, this world sort of exists outside of what we're seeing on the screen. And you don't really get that sense with Attack on Titan, you know?
Yeah, or but I do think it's more it's intentional part of Attack on Titan that, like, not things haven't been fleshed out because of incompetence, but just because the author is trying to hide stuff from us. Whereas there are worlds of poor world building due to incompetence, and then you have worlds of great world building due to extreme competence.
Right. I'm just sort of like, some stuff I feel like really doesn't need to be like.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello.
Maybe his battery died on his headset.
Or maybe push the button. I don't know. I guess maybe we should. That's probably maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about baseball for like.
We've been talking about baseball for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think we need to move on. I don't like baseball. Baseball sucks, honestly, as a sport. fuck baseball.
So let's talk about The Promised Neverland. The Promised Neverland, episode 10, 130146. We moved ahead pretty severely here by several months. In this episode, Norman's just like, all right, take me to die. I'm going to get nice and dressed up, and time to go.
It reminds me of that Looney Tunes, I think it was Looney Tunes episode where there was a turkey like basting itself before it's getting cooked. Does anyone remember that? Was that a Looney Tunes thing?
Probably.
That sounds like a Looney Tunes thing.
But, I mean, obviously the thing is we don't see the body, so we don't know if Norman's actually dead, and we don't know when we'll ever see him again, if we'll ever see him again. I don't know if we'll see him again before the series ends this season, or if he shows up later in seasons, or if he's truly dead. But
so, when Norman goes into the gate, instead of what you assume would happen is that a demon just pops out, stabs him in the chest with a rose, and off to the meatpacking farm, Isabella's like, hey, actually, your door's over here. Open up the door, and Norman's like, shock face. And then we never see what that is.
It was the basement.
The basement.
It was baseball.
We've already been to this show's basement, actually.
Norman, this is baseball. Other than that, Emma and Ray are just like, just like dead now.
Despair.
Yeah, that was the theme of this whole night. Despair. And this show especially.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome back.
Yes, I'm sorry. My headset ran out and I had to switch over to my phone.
Okay. This is a pretty...
it's dark.
Pretty dark episode for sure. Pretty much, you know, real gut buster.
Yeah, I was impressed with this episode. And I've been impressed with most of the series. It's been pretty strong. I haven't read the manga, so people have said they've been adaptation issues, especially with like Corona, whatever. So I can't make those sorts of comparisons. But I think... overall, the series has been very solid, I very much understand why it has a fan following.
I think the manga version of this arc is so strong that no matter what you think about this anime season, you should read it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to oversell it, but, like, these last two episodes are probably two of my favorite, like, season-ending episodes of any anime I've seen. Like, the way these play out, these next two episodes, is just the best. I can only think of one other show I've ever seen that I thought had a better final episode than this.
Which one is it?
Gurren Lagann.
Okay, yeah.
Gurren Lagann's final episode is next level. But this is
setting some expectations here, buddy. I know.
I'm going to try to. I'm going to temper you. I'm going to say, I don't want to go too far. But here, I just think that the way they handle these last two episodes are so good, especially if you don't know what's going to happen. It's just phenomenal. To me, I think it's amazing. And that's why I can't wait for them to come on. And I think that's why we're getting some people who want to be on the podcast during these final two episodes. So,
well, they want to be. Yeah, they definitely want to be on next week for the penultimate episode of Promised Neverland and not the final episode of Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot the final episode of Hunter x Hunter.
Or one of the best episodes of Dragon Ball Super.
Right.
Yeah that is also next week, huh?
Yeah, next week's going to be a real, real strong week.
Yeah.
I mean, this weekend, I guess. Yeah,
well, but, yeah, the one coming up.
So yeah, let's see. What else can we talk about of this episode?
Em and Ray are pretty they're looking pretty like step one, yeah. Accepting your death.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know about that.
We got the end where it's like, you ready? And she's like, oh yeah, let's do
yeah, that was up until that moment, everything seemed pretty much it was in the shitter. And then, you know,
yeah.
Emma gives that kind of glare.
Emma's like, I've learned how to kill people with a look.
There you go.
But don't forget, too, that and earlier in the episode, we also had a pretty kind of pivotal scene where Isabella goes to talk with Emma
and she's
about
like,
becoming a mom.
Yeah, you should become a mom. And Emma's like, no. And she's like, okay, die.
When she said Emma should become a mom, it sounded like she meant it, like, literally.
Well, I think Krona mentioned this before. Maybe not. But, yeah, Isabella says that the requirements for becoming a mom is when you grow up, you give birth to a child, and then, you know, you go through this whole process, just like we saw with Krona, where they have to be trained and everything. And mm-hmm. if you're recommended by a previous mom, you can go through this process, and then you have the potential to become a mom. But yeah, having to give birth to a child is part of that. Yeah.
The thing is, though, we didn't see Krona actually do that, but unless the doll is like a hey, it was the kid, but it died or something.
We didn't see that, but
right.
Isabella did say in this episode that like you have to give birth, yeah.
Right. I'm just kind of wondering, how do they pull that off? Because everyone gets eaten by the time they're 13.
For the rec, well, okay, we won't talk about that. But anyway, just know that that's a factor. And but yeah, Emma's basically like, you know, how I couldn't do that. You know, I thought it was really interesting because in the episode where Mom basically reveals to Norman and Emma that she knows that, you know, that they're trying to escape, I think Seda in the thread said something like, he's like, she seems kind of like she's accepted this life. And I think this scene also does a bit of that too, where it kind of just says she's, cause that's basically what she says. She's like, look, you know, you can either fight this and die or you can live on as a mom. I mean, just accept your fate. That's basically what she's telling Emma to do.
Right.
Man, Isabella's so good. That's super cool. Just like, well, I guess you'll die in despair then. Bye.
Yeah. She's like, I'm giving you this chance. You're not going to take it. Then you can just suffer for the next, you know, however many months before you're shipped off. So pretty cold, but at the same time, she thought she was doing her a favor. So now one other thing that we do have to talk briefly about, unfortunately, is what the hell is going on with this show's audio? It was messed up.
Yeah. It seems like it was either a bad recording somehow or something on DeMarco's end.
I think it's the latter. It sounds to remember when I was talking to you guys about compression the other a couple podcasts ago? This is exactly what I think is going on. I think some piece of equipment or some engineer at Adult Swim is over compressing the audio of this show so much.
It was only this episode.
Right.
Well, see, the thing is, The Promised Neverland, this episode in particular, and the next one as well, has long parts where there's just literally no sound.
Yeah, and then those points, it was literally when you have the mic turned up too high, it's like, when somebody's not talking, it's like...
It sounds like an air conditioner.
Right.
And yeah, and I think that's what it is. I think they're running this through a filter trying to make all the audio balance, but there's parts in this show where there's just no sound at all. And so it's overcompensating and it's making it sound like there's this hissing noise all the time.
I just think that if it was on Toonami's end, then we would have seen it in other places before now.
I just think I think we notice it more here because of this show. Like there's,
but we would have definitely noticed it if it was a Toonami thing. Or unless this is like we would have noticed it before.
Well, okay, regardless, it's probably Toonami because when you watch the subtitled versions, they sound fine on Crunchyroll.
Well, then that means the possibility is also that, you know,
it's the dub.
Funimation was having a bad, like they had some storms there recently. I wonder if things got screwed up.
That seems like I have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not that incompetent.
It might not be incompetence on their part. It might be that when they were doing the initial dub, you know, something happened and they didn't notice it until they made master.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying. I don't think any audio engineer would not notice this.
Has anyone not obviously not spoken to DeMarco because they're not like on speaking terms of him necessarily. Right. Have people said something about this to him that he's aware of this issue or like just to make sure, like, we're not someone's hearing it.
For what it's worth, I tried to search Twitter to see if anyone else other than our thread had noticed the audio issue, and I couldn't find anything. It's very likely that nobody but us noticed it. But
I added him on Twitter just to be like, hey, I don't know who's doing this, but
You know, it might have wound up being the transmission thing over the TV.
Who knows?
I don't know what it was, but it was really bad because everybody in our thread noticed it, and it was like echoey and overmodulated. It almost sounded like they had the audio playing twice, once on top of each other. I don't know what it was, but it sounded bad.
We recorded this in an empty warehouse.
Yeah, it sounded really weird. Like, especially in the scene where Emma tries to stop Norman from, or tries to basically disable his tracker. And they're sitting there kind of yelling at each other. And it's just, there's an echo. And it's like, they're not in a room that should cause an echo. And that echo wasn't in the Japanese version. So there's something wrong. I hope they fix it.
It would be really bad if it was there next week.
I know. It would be terrible because, like I said, these next two episodes are freaking amazing. But they like this episode, have long pauses where there's just no sound, just characters talking. And if they overmodulate it again, it's going to sound echoey again. Hope they fix it.
Yeah. But anyway, shit's going to go down.
Yeah. I can't wait to see your reactions to what happens.
Sword Art Online.
Ugh.
Do we have to?
Yes. Sword Art Online, Alicization, Episode 20, Synthesis. In this episode, they finally make it up to the Senate room, and look at that. The Senate is just a bunch of, like, dudes in tubes getting fed, like, gruel.
Hamsters. Yeah, they got the hamster things coming down to feed the severed heads, and it's like, really?
Yeah, why is that a thing? Why is that a thing?
Because creepiness. I don't know. Like, they're computer programs. What the hell do they need to be severed heads in tubes for? You can just, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Also, why does the one dude need to be a clown who lives in a room in a pedophile room?
My hatred for this character has no bounds. He's just awful. Stupid character.
Like, didn't he admit to like sexual assault or something?
I don't know if he went that far.
My very little understanding about what's going to happen this season is that it gets worse with him.
Oh God! How could it get worse?
I was watching
a mother's basement video, and then like most of it was like stuff I'd already seen. But then it was like he was gonna get to the ending, which is supposed to be really ridiculous. So I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to spoil it. And he mentioned something the clown did, and I was like, wait, the fuck did you just say? He's like, I just said that very all in specific thing. And I was like, oh shit, that's fucked up, man. I'm not going to say anything, but some fucked up shit happens.
Here's the thing.
It already feels like it's borderline, like, assault shit. Like, how much worse can it get?
Here's what I hate about this whole thing is that, like, I'm not going to give this show a lot of props because I don't think it's good. But, like, I think I said a couple episodes ago, like, this idea of, like, oh, okay, this computer-generated world, these AIs, so, they're doing this stuff and they're working within the program and all this other stuff. So, like, even the stupid Integrity Knights, like, I can kind of buy that. I can buy, like, oh, okay, they took a program, AI, and then they converted it, into a knight.
My name is Norman Antivirus Synthesis 30.
Right, whatever. Yeah, so that I can kind of buy into that. But I don't – now they're introducing this stupid clown character and these dumb, like, Prometheus-looking dudes. Like, what are these supposed to be? Who knows? It's dumb.
I mean, there's just a lot of dumb shit. And it, for some reason, it just keeps getting dumber. And, I mean, apparently the main villain decides to be naked for the rest of the series. So, that's cool.
And then, yeah, Greg, I mean, I don't know if you'd seen this before, but you totally called it. Now we're about to have the showdown.
Yeah, I mean, dude.
Come on.
Come on.
Well, like, I'm genuinely curious. Did you know that was going to happen or not?
No, I did not.
Okay.
When did I call it? Like last week?
Yeah,
I think last
week I think that's like, of course they're going to fight.
As soon as he got mind controlled, it was like, yeah, that's going to happen. Come on.
Well, countdown to Thunderdome.
That's another thing that they did in this episode that I thought was so stupid and I rolled my eyes was that, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Like basically force pulls his sword through the air.
Yeah.
And takes it.
That struck me out as like, what the hell is that?
Well, but here's the thing though. Like when I saw that, I just sort of, and then the characters were like, what is this? How is he doing this? He's pulling this object through the air. That's not possible. And I was thinking to myself, why wouldn't it be possible? Look at all the other crazy, stupid magic shit you can do.
Alice is like, what? Holding two swords?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that freaked her out. She's like, who would use two swords?
Gee, Kirito, why does your mom give you two swords?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was.
And then Kirito's kind of like, well, maybe I can use two swords. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, God.
I'm like, oh, God, he's just going to be a filthy beater again.
At this point, why doesn't Kirito just tell everybody what the fuck is going on? Why doesn't he just go like, hey, you guys are all artificial intelligences. This is a computer program. Like, why keep it secret?
Would they believe him?
Probably not, but like, I don't know. It's like they seem to be going to great lengths to make Kirito keep this information.
Well, because it's like they believe they're in like a magical medieval world. They'd be like, the fuck is a computer?
Okay. Here's the thing that doesn't make sense to me.
It would be like trying to explain color to somebody who's blind.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing that I'm like, this makes no fucking sense. So they were going to go to the armory to steal weapons and clothes and shit. And they stole clothes. And Kirito did not get an extra sword because...
Well, I don't know, because he's dumb.
Well, I mean, it's like, oh, my secret is I can dual wield. And it's like, really? You're just not going to do that from the start? Like, the last time you did this shit, like, you killed, like, six people.
His stat wasn't high enough.
What?
It's something about his stat wasn't high enough. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea. It's probably something like that. I don't know.
No, they maxed it out already. Like, freaking Lollibrarian maxed out all their stats and shit.
Look, dude, none of the other swords were as cool as Ice Sword.
Like, yeah, he wouldn't dual wield, like, with one awesome sword and one jank sword.
Well, I mean, they got an armory full of awesome swords, apparently.
Nah, not magical super swords that were created from the Tree of Life and blah, blah, blah. And
well, I mean, that's what the Lollibrarian says. She's like, oh, you can go steal really awesome swords from there, but, you know, you don't really need to because you already got some cool swords.
Are you trying to insinuate that there's a plot hole in this a magnificently written show?
Why, I never.
I would never.
Are you trying to say that this may not actually be good writing? What? How dare you?
No. I mean, I'm not saying that Kirito is making...
At dawn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that Kirito is making the, you know, stupid choices here because he's not obviously going all out from the start against people who he should probably be going all out against from the start.
Oh, you mean like Goku?
I mean, he's being dumber than that, though. Because, like, Goku can power up anytime he wants. Kirito's, he's got to find another sword somewhere.
One of the things I don't like about this show, too, is, like, and I knew it was coming, but it's just, like, what is it called, that phrase when the main character is just, like, too good?
The Marty Sue?
Yeah.
Gary Sue or whatever.
It's the Gary Sue, Marty Sue, whatever. It's that thing. It's like, I mean, yes, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Kirito are going to battle. Do I have any reason to believe Kirito won't win? I mean, come on.
No, I mean, he's going to crush the guy. Let's be real. He's still... Okay, so they both have two secret attacks. We've already seen one of Kirito's and both of Yu-Gi-Oh's. So, you know, I wonder which one is going to win.
But maybe Yu-Gi-Oh got another secret attack by being leveled up to an Integrity Knight.
Ooh. No. There's just the two.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, unless they decide, okay, let's do bullshit hacks now.
Well, he did lay in the bed with the magic naked woman. Maybe something happened.
No, yeah, he did get raped by her. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, who knows? He could be powered up beyond any level.
That the first one to use their special move will lose.
That is probably what will happen.
Were your guys' hearts moved by that scene where Alice met her not uncle who was frozen in the floor?
And he was like, I can still talk.
I can talk if I move my face enough.
Oh, God, that was horrible. I'm like, dude got frozen and then turned to stone. No, you should not be able to move at all. You're dead at this point. Come on, what the hell?
His object authority was good enough, so.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do something that dumb, then just be like, oh, he got stabbed through the chest or something, and he's just about to run out of life. Like, the hell was this?
I don't know. That scene was, like, dumb, but it didn't really, like, it was dumb within the normal parameters of stupid, if that makes any sense. It was, I don't know.
Right, right. It was dumb within the normal parameters of SAO dumb.
I was like, eh. I don't know. There's so many dumber shit. I can't be bothered to waste energy getting too upset about that.
Yeah. I'm still more bothered by the fact Kirito was only using the one sword, even though they were in the armory that had all the awesome swords in it.
Hey, they're heavy, man.
He's a goddamn beater. Put it in, like, void storage or something. I don't know.
Lupin the Third. Lupin the Third, Part 5, Episode 1, The Girl in the Twin Tower. Oh.
Oh. Not those Twin Towers.
Retire that name forever.
I'm glad we can start talking about a good show now.
Yes. Yay.
No, Lupin is a lot of fun.
Yeah, in the opening, Lupin rockets his Fiat into space, put a camera on a satellite so he can peek at Fujiko on the beach. Legend.
Yeah. Yeah.
A fucking legend.
Goddamn right. The things he will do just to get a look at that woman. Honestly, I love how meaty the episode was, because we get halfway through and you're like, wait, that was only halfway through the episode? That felt like a whole episode.
I had the same reaction, too. A lot happened in that first half, and I'm like, wow, we're only halfway done?
And then a lot happened in the second half.
I mean, I think it'll slow down a bit after the first episode, because a lot of times first episodes of shows are bang, 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 bang.
As someone who's actually seen this series before, it doesn't really slow down, in the next episode at least. What happens, like... You talked about this on the other day about briefly talking about Lupin and its structure and whatnot. And I'll say its structure is that it has several arcs, mini arcs that are like connected to each other, about four or five episodes each. I can't remember exactly the number, but it's a little different. And then the rest of the episodes are kind of like, there's some like silly episodes and like I think episode six is kind of like a silly episode, kind of, it's like it's canon, weirdly enough, but like all the characters act kind of silly and whatnot. And there are a few episodes like that over the course of the series. But what it is, it's like several like mini arcs. They're all connected to each other and all tying in at the end, in the conclusion.
Yeah, the previous season was like that too.
No, not really.
Previous season was, it was basically like all individual episodes.
Oh, I thought, there was like one or two, like two
the occasional myth arc episode. Yeah. I think Crocodile was saying that there's not going to be a lot of like truly individual episodes this season.
Okay.
So like, I think, I'm trying to remember if the show is 24 or 26 episodes, but there's like 18 or so episodes I think 18 or somewhere between 18 and 20 like story episodes broken up into four arcs. And then a few mini episodes distributed in between them. But each of those mini arcs are linked to each other. Like, but it's like maybe a lot super obvious immediately how they're linked, but it's like there's one like long through line throughout the entire series. And it works out a lot better than part four. Something I didn't realize until I just was rewatching the episode this weekend was that you see a lot of like characters and plot lines that show up even all the way to the end of the series in this very first episode. And I didn't realize that when I first saw the show, but rewatching it now, there are kind of like threads that are already, you know, being put in place.
I mean, and they had the old school Lupin opening, which wasn't really the old school Lupin opening because it was sort of a French take on it, which was really cool.
Yeah, this opening is super good.
Yeah. And
they played the full opening and the full ending, which is interesting.
I mean, apparently they had to cut the ending down a little bit.
I couldn't tell. I thought it was the whole thing.
There was usually an episode preview at the end of these episodes, but they cut those out.
Right. Well, what I mean is they censored the ending a little bit because, you know, Fujiko.
Oh, well, that's different. I just meant that they played the whole – they didn't cut it. They played the whole duration, it seems like.
Cutting for time and censoring is what we're talking about.
Yeah. I will say I love how pretty much everyone in the series showed up. Like in just the first episode, like Pops just randomly shows up. I was like, oh, there's Pops. He's decided to become this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like his character should be this annoying Team Rocket thing, but it's not. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Cause he always shows up. He's like, I'm gonna ruin everyone's time. And you know, it should be this sort of thing. It's like, ah, hell, not this again. And then it turns into...
Then you got this joke with a megaphone to shout, stop having fun!
Yeah, but then it turns into, shit, yeah, Pops is here.
I mean, there's a reason that he's always part of this show. I mean, I think he's a good character type, you know, archetype. I mean,
he's part of the formula. He's like honorary fifth member.
Exactly. Right. I mean, he even shows up in the end... ending like drinking with everybody, even though that's like a fantasy thing.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
But the point is that like as the creators of this show see Zenigata as much as a part of this group as everyone else.
Right. It's one of those things where he also plays really well off of Lupin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of Lupin's character is that he's always on the run.
Yeah.
And so you got to have a character chasing him, you know. I thought it was interesting too when they showed the flow chart of like all the people connected to Lupin, and you know, like we saw Rebecca, but if you look closely, you see other characters from the last season as well. Like I think that the James Bond character was on there.
Oh, you mean James Bonds?
Yeah, James Bonds, whatever his name is.
You mean Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on there. It was interesting.
But yeah, in this episode, Lupin and Jigen parachute into some weird oil platform to steal all the Bitcoins in the world.
And he, goddammit, he did it. And it was really freaking awesome. Like, they dove into the water past the thing, and they kidnapped the little girl who...
No, she
didn't kidnap anyone.
No. She wanted to be kidnapped, so it doesn't count. It's weird.
But Lupin was always like, I already reached into your...
Yeah, that is such a, like, ass-pull move.
They had one episode to get creepers on board, and they had that one thing to do. They had one shot to do it.
Well, I'm not talking about that. This idea that, like, in, like, a millisecond, he was able to not only pull the gun out of from behind her, but then remove one bullet from his clip and then put the clip back in. He did this all within the span of like a millisecond.
He's the goddamn greatest thief of all time.
That is Lupin the Third.
I mean, he's Lupin the Third, you know?
Yeah.
Like the only reason Pops hasn't been fired is there's no one else even close to that level.
I think if this show was any more serious, it might have bothered me, but because it's kind of a silly show in a way, I'm cool with
Like it can get away with it. It's cartoony enough,
right?
In tone, where you're like, yeah, no, Lupin is hilariously hyper competent.
This is the same show that has a samurai that chops trees down with swords while standing on top of a car. You know, it's like
this is a show where Leonardo da Vinci was the bad guy.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like the show feels like it's Ocean's 11 tier in terms of what these guys are able to do, in that, you know, whatever the plot calls for the plan to be, they can make that the plan.
Right, exactly. And so now there's this new character. It's like a young woman who is apparently like a super happy.
Not Amy, Ami.
So she's like a super hacker. I think I said this in the thread. I get kind of a Dorothy Wainwright vibe from her, and like not so much like her character, but like the way she speaks and acts. She's kind of emotionless and robotic in a way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. But yeah, they're on the run. Oh, and then the big thing that's revealed at the end is that apparently the people conspiring against Lupin have created an mm-hmm. online game where they're using social media to track his whereabouts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Basically, everyone in the world is a cop now.
Goddamn cops.
God damn it.
It's a neat idea. Like I like that. It's kind of like they're taking Lupin and they're making it like current day kind of it's relevant.
Like somebody asked the question, how does Lupin operate in a world where everyone has a smartphone?
Exactly. This is how.
Yeah. I don't know if this was deliberate or not, but like when Zenigata first showed up at their villa and was going to chase them, you know, and then the boat took off and, you know, it was a fake and everything like that. He was holding like an iPad in his hand. Right. And I thought that's kind of neat.
I think that was on purpose. Like he's been using the social media thing to track him.
So that's what I think too. They didn't show it yet at that point in the show, but I kind of feel like that's what they were leading to. So.
Right. Cause they show it right after that when they're in the car.
I mean, he lost his car too, by the way. I should mention that.
I feel bad for that. That's a cool little Fiat.
Hey, suddenly he's got the Alfa Romeo. This season is sponsored by Alfa Romeo. Oh, weird. Lupin has the Alfa Romeo new thing. Huh.
Hey, they make some sexy cars.
Sure, I guess.
I mean, none of them work, but you know. They all break. What do you want?
Black Clover.
Aw.
Black Clover, episode 74, Flower of Resolution. Okay, really quick. They play a Dota match with some dudes and they win.
Yeah.
Because Johnny Young Bosch is like, I don't give a shit, and makes...
He uses a trap card.
He plays a trap card, and everyone's like, how could you do that? And it's like, I won. Screw off.
Right. He just spammed Mirror Force, and that was it.
What is the deal with the Johnny Young Bosch character? Like, because I've been mostly, like, muting Black Clover.
Everyone has.
And, like, we've been seeing this character in the endings for a while, and he, like, looks really out of place to show. And he showed up, like, two episodes ago, and I'm like, what's the deal with this character? Why is he, like, amongst the good guys? Why does he look the way he does? What's the deal with him?
I don't know. What is his deal?
He's like Sasuke, is what I'm getting.
Wait, isn't what's-his-name already the Sasuke?
No, not really.
Wind guy? What's-his-name?
Yeah. What pretty boy guy?
Kind of, but he's not as much of an asshole.
You know, he's way too boring to be called a Sasuke.
No, he's boring enough to be called a Sasuke. Sasuke is boring as hell, let's be real.
Well, anyway, my point is that this guy with the stupid teeth and the mask and everything, I think he's just like a cocksure, like super strong guy who treats everyone like shit. That's his character.
Yeah.
And whatever. I will say one good thing about this episode is that it actually kind of made me like the Mimosa character a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
They introduce like her brother or whatever, and he's kind of a, I don't know what he is. He's weird, but she's like really embarrassed by him. But then she was like kind of standing up for everyone and Asta in particular, and actually kind of being a bit like she had a bit of agency. And I don't know. I kind of liked that. So that's one good thing I liked in this episode. Outside of that, I don't even remember what else happened.
Nope.
We can move on.
Yeah.
So, quick question. Like, I thought I was generally, maybe not necessarily impressed, but kind of like on board with Boruto at the start. But ever since that Mist arc, it's been losing me pretty hard. And I know there's supposed to be an arc, like, upcoming that's based on a movie where they had that, like, sickest fight, anime fight of 2018 or whatever it was in.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when do we get to that? How much are we, like, are we there yet? Like, what's going on here?
By the way, this is episode 35 of Boruto, the parent-teacher conference. Okay. So why is Boruto like this? Because they decided they needed a new Naruto show. They didn't have anything to actually work from.
Yeah.
So they just decided it's going to be kind of like a school life, slice of life, school life thing for a while.
Yeah, because they have the Boruto movie, which they're going to turn into an arc. But beyond that, they're like, okay, they decided we got to build up to that because, you know, it gives them more time to plan future arcs, I guess.
Right. Anyway, this episode is basically all about you wondering, oh man, is Orochimaru going to show up for Mitsuki's parent-teacher conference? And the answer is, yep.
Yep, and he doesn't go to jail.
Dude, not in prison.
I don't know.
Because he likes Sasuke now.
But he...
I shit you not, this is the reason he's a good guy now. He's like, I like Sasuke.
He killed the third Hokage. Like he stabbed him in the chest with a sword. Like, do ninjas even have jail?
Isn't Kabuto also not in jail? Didn't he get, like, an army with the clones from the Shingai?
Yeah.
He runs an orphanage now.
Yeah, he didn't go to jail either.
Not being in jail.
I feel like if you're a bad guy and you're able to avoid getting killed in the Naruto universe, they kind of just let you off. You're like, yeah, you didn't die in battle, it's fine.
And it's too much trouble to actually try and kill you, so.
Right.
So, yeah. Boruto, parent-teacher conferences. Hey, look, these kids are still dumb, stupid kids, even if they're parents now. Naruto! Naruto episode, Shippuden episode 254, the super secret S-rank mission. In this episode, oh Jesus Christ, it's the fucking ostrich again.
Yeah, I also had this episode on mute, to be honest. Like, I just saw that ostrich and I was like, no, I'm not watching this. This is stupid.
I can't believe they brought this fucking dumbest-ass character ever back. Like, were the filler writers really proud of this?
Yes.
I
don't know.
I mean, they literally got Naruto to fall for the dumbest fucking plan ever. And the fact that we couldn't tell if it was filler or not immediately, just sort of, that's all you need to know.
So what was the point of, why were they Noah's arcing the animals exactly?
Because, you know, got to give Naruto something to do to keep him from charging to the front lines and winning the war for them on his own.
Yeah, they're just kind of like, hey, pay no attention to the war over here. Look, over there.
Animals.
It's some candy.
Yeah. Like, you put him and Killer B on the front lines of this, you know, war thing, they'd probably win it in, like, 3 seconds.
But also, like, to, like, Madara is just instantly like, hey, I got them, I win!
Yeah, but he's not going to beat both of them. Come on.
Eh, they're not going to take that chance.
Still dumb.
Toby's got a new mask.
Yeah.
He's a good. He got that mask because he was a good boy. His mom bought it for him.
Also, there's like a bajillion Zetsus.
Yes. I didn't even understand what I was looking at there, but I did see that.
You were looking at literally a billion Zetsus.
A billion or more? I think more like a couple thousand. Let's not over-exaggerate.
100 billion Zetsus. Okay.
There were many, many Zetsus.
Many much Zetsus. And yeah, that was this episode of Naruto. Dumb ninja ostrich and also the doc, modern Kabuto being like, look, we have 17 million of these putty, of this putty guy.
You know what it reminded me of? That scene from, like, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
The cloning facility, you know?
It's like, look at all these dudes! It's like, okay. But fuck that shit, let's talk about Hunter Hunter. Hunter Hunter episode 147, Salvation and Future. In this episode, do you want to see a koala talk about life, the universe, and the mysteries of death for like 15 minutes? Because that's what you're going to get.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, they went all in for that. That was like, goddamn, man.
This is the penultimate episode of the series, and half of it is Koala Dude, who you've seen once.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay. He's off trying to make amends and do the right thing and stuff. And it's like, you know, he doesn't know how. So Kite's like, "Fuck you! You work for me. I'll make sure you do make amends and stuff."
Also, yeah, Kite totally remembers his past life. He's actually just Kite.
Yeah, like he's just himself. It's fine.
It's weird. It's like, hey, Gon didn't actually have to do anything.
Yeah, that kind of made a lot of the shit that went down kind of like not pointless, but like very necessary in retrospect.
Well, I mean, they still had to beat
Pito.
Ants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like the Royal Guard still had to be beaten. You know, like the king had to die, and to do that, he needed to be separated from the Royal Guard. Like, it really had to be done. It's just a matter of, you know.
It just makes the whole Gon situation just even more unnecessarily tragic.
Yeah, like, he totally didn't need to do that. Like, they should have been able to put together that, oh, wait, these people, now that the queen is dead, are starting to remember their past lives. Could Kite be among them?
Well, you know? I don't think it's fair for them to, I don't know, necessarily jump to that conclusion.
Well, right, I know. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like, it sort of sets us up for this moment, you know?
Yeah, it was a weird way to start the episode, for sure, to just have this long monologue from the Koala guy. I didn't mind it, because that's kind of one of the strengths of this show, has always been, like, going against convention and being different. And
yeah,
and it was tastefully done, well done, like, it was very thought-provoking mm-hmm. speech he gives and everything. And yeah, this just ends up, you know, we see Kite now, like, I guess because he's an ant, he, like, he, she, whatever you want to call it, her, him, yeah. her now, they're like growing up at an exponential rate or something, like getting, because it's almost like a teenager now.
Right.
Whereas like the last time we saw them, they were like an infant, and that was only like a week ago or something.
Right. Like, I feel like maybe the ants don't take as long to hit full maturity.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of hang out there until, you know, I think it's a question as to how long the ant's lifespan is. But I'm not sure we'll ever get into that.
I mean, I feel like it would probably be around the same as a human, like 80 years.
That would be pretty good, you know, because at that point, Kai just sort of starts over.
Yeah.
You know, like he spent 20, 30 years doing whatever. And now he's got all that experience and the crazy strong body of the ant and, you know, his Nen again. And it's kind of like, yeah, he came out ahead in all this, I think.
I don't know if he came out ahead.
Like, maybe not ahead, I mean, but,
like,
you know.
He would have preferred to have not been murdered and yeah. reincarnated. Like, he's
not ahead. I mean, obviously, yes. But now, you know, he's alive, and he's got an extra 20 years to his name.
Also, like, I remember Ging was going on about how it was Kite's special Nen slot that must have allowed him to live, but we never actually revealed that. In this episode, are we going to get to see that ever?
Not yet.
Well, the only other thing I remember this episode, unless you guys have more I can't remember, is that they go, that Gein says to meet him at the top of the world tree.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, by the way, go meet me at the top of the fucking world tree. Like, that's an easy thing.
Yeah, and then apparently, so we get this long, like, explanation about, like, there's this giant tree, and then people every year try to climb it, and most people don't make it halfway, and some people die on their way up, and all this other
most
stuff.
Most people die. And
well, no, they said that there's a few deaths every year.
No, he didn't say it was most people. He had most people like, okay. give up.
They give yeah, up, yeah.
Right, right. But, you know, like, there's, like, you can only go halfway up on the stairs, and the rest of the way you gotta actually, like, climb it like a little monkey or something.
So, yeah. So, and then we get this really nice scene where Gon and Killua basically say goodbye to each other.
And they will never meet again.
I mean, we don't know that.
They will never meet again.
We don't know that.
He will never write this scene where they meet again.
You don't know.
I do.
No, you don't.
Just like how I know George R. R. Martin will never write The Winds of Winter.
Well, I mean, that he'll never write because you know, he probably can't figure out how to get from where he is to the ending. But this, I feel it's, like he'll get there eventually.
Working on that from software game.
Yeah, he's too busy doing other crap.
Currently trying to take up ballroom dancing.
Is that a joke? Is that, are you serious?
No, no, I'm pretty sure that's you can't tell.
You actually, you see, the thing is, you totally believe that that could happen.
I mean, literally, we can't tell. You know, like, it could be true. We don't know. I will say that I do think they are going to meet again simply because of sort of a revelation that happens after the anime is over in the next arc. But, you know, we don't know.
I like there was a moment too where like Killua, I forget what he did, but Killua said something to kind of like, he was kind of giving Gon a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alakua was like, big brother, don't do that. You know, she got all mad.
Yeah. She's like, don't be mean to him.
I hope they're never apart again.
Killua and Alakua.
Uh huh.
Yeah, he says in this episode that he's like, she's never leaving my side from now on. And I thought that was really sweet.
Like, they're really adorable.
One thing I do want to say, though, if I didn't know there was one more episode, I would have been 100% certain this was the final episode.
No, they still have, Gon has to get to the top of the world tree, and then they have to drop the biggest bomb in the series on you.
Well, but again, I only know that because you're saying that.
Right.
This episode literally ends with a custom ending that looks like it would be the ending of the series. Like, it has these credits and everything.
I disagree, because if it was the ending for an entire series, it wouldn't just be Gon and Killua. It would be, I think, Leorio and Kurapika and a few other guys. It would be like a whole crew montage, I think, if it was the end of an entire series.
I think it's just because these two splitting up is such a huge deal that it's deserving of it.
But they have literally been the entire show since, like,
the Hunter exam.
Since York knew.
Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, this custom ending that we got was all about the backstory of what happened with these two.
Yeah.
Like, all the shots were, like, from Greed Island and other things that they'd done together. So, but it was just, I don't think I picked up on that. I was just more like, look, they're showing, like, the greatest hits from the whole series. It just felt like it was the final episode.
Yeah.
But we got one more.
There's more? Oh, man. The things I want to talk about when you're done.
I can't wait. Is there anything else for anyone else has to say about this episode this week of Toonami?
Both Alakua and Nanika are adorable cinnamon rolls, and we don't deserve them.
That's correct.
Yes.
Glad we got that cleared up. Anyone else?
I can't think of anything, which means I'll probably think of something as soon as we end. But
oh yeah, no, like we're gonna end, and then we're all gonna be like, "Oh, son of a bitch,
we forgot to." But yeah, that'll probably about do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, B-Dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, Crocodile.
Good night to everyone.
Yes, good night to everyone. We'll see you guys next week for, oh my god, the review and ranking of Hunter x Hunter.
Oh man, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
It's almost impossible to remember this podcast without Hunter x Hunter, because it's literally been on like almost the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've had, but comparing episode numbers to podcast numbers, it's been like only like 7-ish weeks.
Yeah.
I wonder if you go back to some of the very first podcasts, if that's sort of like, and Hunter x Hunter just got announced for the block. And
definitely did.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of remember talking about, you know, early on how cool it would be if we got Hunter x Hunter. You know, so there was a time between when it got announced and when we started where there was no Hunter x Hunter.
So it might be interesting to go back and listen to that conversation, see how it went, and, you know, just compare it to how people feel nowadays and whatnot. So I guess, did everyone on the podcast at that point already see the Japanese version?
No, I've never seen this before. Every episode's been new to me.
Me too.
I mean, I read it, but I never watched the adaptation yet.
Okay. All
right. Actually, I'm looking back at the very first episode that I edited. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Oh, dang it. I didn't have good descriptions back then, so I don't know if it had. Okay, so episode 25, not to go too much into the deep, that was about five episodes into when I started doing it with you guys.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about Gon's strength. Like he was right. super strong.
Oof.
That yeah. seemed like that was pretty early days.
Yeah. Well, that's probably him opening the door to the
yes.
Zoldyck mm-hmm. Mansion, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, in episode 22 of ours, which again, that was like about the third or fourth episode I was with you guys on, we're talking about Leorio's knife.
Right, okay.
So that was on the boat, right?
Yeah, that was like episode that was three.
Episode, wasn't it?
No, well, that's too late for that. See, that's...
Yeah, like Leorio's knife is like episode two or three, I think.
I don't know. Didn't he pull it out against Killua? I'm not against them. Quarpaca on the boat? That was like episode one, wasn't it?
No. Like episode one was...
It's a recurring joke in the early going that everyone else has this crazy shit and Leorio brought a knife.
Yeah.
Watch out, I've got a knife in a briefcase. You don't want to mess with me.
Hey, he was a
Gotta get that off that mobster, you know.
He's a dangerous guy. He'll cut you.
It is kind of funny how saying I'll cut you tends to be more threatening than I'll kill you. But just because I guess because cut you is more believable, I suppose.
Yeah, and like, you know it'll hurt.
It's like, I don't want to get cut. That sounds like it sucks.
Well, I mean, getting murdered hurts too. I mean,
well, I mean, you can probably stop a guy from a knife with murdering you. Probably can't stop him from stabbing you.
But murder, I don't have to live with it after.
Also
we're getting
true.
Dark here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, hunter.
So yeah, we'll see you guys next week for episode 156. Good night, everyone. Later.